Hi, listeners. You can now listen to this community podcast production ad-free on Apple Podcasts and access the podcast 1 week early and get exclusive bonus content. Just hit the subscribe button now on Apple Podcasts. Or if you want access to all of the above, plus video versions of the podcast, head to patreon.com/stopthekilling.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
On the morning of August 1st, 1966, shots ring out from the observation deck of the clock tower on the University of Texas campus. It marks the infamous beginning of the modern era of mass shootings in America.
I'm Sarah Ferris, true crime podcaster.
And I'm Catherine Schweit, the former head of the FBI's active shooter program.
And you're listening to Stop the Killing.
Sarah, I wanted to have a conversation and just update you on something that happened recently that our listeners might not have kind of the details on, but we saw video footage so often we don't get a chance to see that. There was a shooting here just recently, February 11th, here in the United States, and the shooting was kind of near Houston, Texas, big, you know, metropolitan area, but it occurred in the lobby, essentially, of a church that is called Lakewood Church. Now, you might not know that name, Lakewood Church, but you might know the name Joel Osteen, O-S-T-E-N. Can't spell. But Joel Osteen, he is the leader in this mega church. We're talking thousands and thousands of people. And he preaches every week. And he's written several books. He's very charismatic. And this incident occurred at this church on February 11th. But now the Houston Police Department, who had some off-duty officers there who responded, along with security who responded, they have released the body camera footage and the surveillance camera footage of the shooting. And I think it is an excellent opportunity for our listeners and viewers to see how hectic a shooting is.
So are we going to have the video footage of this?
Yeah, let's drop the whole thing in the show notes because it's like more than 25 minutes of video footage.
What we'll do is we'll put the video onto the YouTube. So if you want to watch the video footage and the whole video of this interview, this episode, go to YouTube and you go to at Sarah Ferris Media and you'll find all of the Stop the Killing videos on there. But if you're listening right now, you can click the link in the show note below.
So let me set it up for you. We see from police body camera footage and from the surveillance video, a woman who drives to the front of the church, Lakewood Church, and she gets out of her car. She's wearing a long coat. She's carrying a backpack and she's moving all the time, very frantic. You can see from the surveillance camera, she just pulls up where normally someone would drop somebody at church. But she gets out of the car and she walks around to the passenger side, and you see her open the back door of the car, and a young child gets out of the car, and she's moving with this young child, and she is picking up things from her car, all of her packages and all the things she wants to carry. And then she moves into the building. And as she walks right through the front vestibule of the church, and there are 20 people in the vestibule, and you see her walk directly in through the vestibule and apparently headed towards the sanctuary, where there would be hundreds of people sitting, hundreds of people. And service has just let out, and there's another service that's going to start in a little while. The first service was in English. The second service was going to be in Spanish. So there are a lot of people in the building, but not an overwhelming number. The church is emptied out, and there are more who will be coming. And it's just the timing of it, right? It happens. She comes out of her car through the doors with her child right next to her, and she is carrying a rifle, a long gun rifle, right?
I was like, where is this going? Are you telling me that it's a female shooter?
Yes, yes. Oh,
this is unusual for us.
Yeah, indeed. So she is carrying this long gun, and she tries to get into the vestibule. At least preliminary reports tell Houston Police Department is still investigating, of course, and pulling everything together. But she doesn't get in there. Maybe the doors are locked, or maybe it's blocked off, whatever the circumstances. So she doesn't access that door into the larger sanctuary. And the church is huge. It's like a sports arena. It's huge.
Right.
And so she doesn't access that because the church itself is so big. The hallways are big. They're not like 10 feet wide. They're like, in some places, 20, 30 feet wide. And the hallway curves around, you know, where people are sitting. And this creates a very complicated problem for those who respond. And I mentioned this because I have talked to some in the States about architectural designs on buildings. There's a company, for instance, that did some designing of some building that was put up in Ohio several years ago, a school building, and they built curved hallways in kind of meandering areas with the concept of a shooter can't shoot into a curved hallway because a lot of people won't be in harm's way.
Right.
Okay, now, okay, that's great until you're a law enforcement officer, right?
Right.
So now what you see from this video footage and the surveillance footage is the challenge that this presents to law enforcement for a host of reasons. So that's why I wanted to bring this now to the table and just tell you a bit about this, although I know there will be a report by Houston PD that explains some of the questions we don't necessarily have all the answers to right now.
Which is a lot. I've got 1,000 questions. Does she start shooting?
She starts shooting in the vestibule, in the hallway area. So she is with, as it turns out, her 7-year-old son. At one point in the surveillance video, you can see him lean against a wall and put his fingers in his ears to mask the noise. And he continues to move towards his mother and away from his mother. But she starts shooting. And she's shooting with this rifle. And she discharges rounds. Now, the surveillance videos, to be clear, have no sound. So the sounds that are heard on the tape are all from police body camera footage. And there are a handful of officers there who have body cameras, one whose camera doesn't work. She articulates that on tape. You hear it say, my camera's not working. But you hear the sound of what a shooting is. And an officer is essentially being pinned down, unable to move because they are working in a curved hallway. There's no corners. They have no idea where to go to get closer to the sound of shooting that is ricocheting all over the building. So they're not even confident that they know where the shooting is. They're just going to where it seems louder. At this point, there are no casualties.
Okay.
She is shooting and people are running, which is, hello, run, hide, fight. People are running as fast as they can. But when she begins to shoot, one of the first surveillance videos that is shown, I think I would love for everyone to be cognizant of this as they see the early surveillance video of her coming into the hallway. She disappears. And then after a few moments, it's clear that something has frightened people. And you see people in that hallway begin to move and run away. But in right away, you see the security, the law enforcement officer, go in the opposite direction. That is bravery. Yes, that is bravery. Everybody's running away. And as soon as the sound starts to clearly come and scare people, and I don't know if it's a law enforcement officer at that moment or a security officer, but I think it's a law enforcement officer, draws his gun and starts running towards the sound. And he is running on a curve of a building where he cannot see what is around the curve.
And when they do get there, they're going to see a woman with a gun and a child. Like, how to complicate that situation even further, to have a seven-year-old child right there in the line of fire. That's just terrifying. Yeah, and
the child is wearing bright clothing, like reds and yellow clothing. So it's not like you just miss him because he's hiding behind mom's coat. You know, she's wearing more kind of neutral tones, and he is wearing bright colors. And he's seven, so he's about, I'm guessing, maybe 4 feet tall. Yeah. Maybe not quite that tall. Maybe I'm overestimating, but just looking at the video, he's fairly tall, thin, young boy, and he is sticking with her. She's moving. You see from the surveillance videos, she moves some times towards the wall and then away from the wall, and the officers begin to have to try to start shooting back at her while her child is standing there. You know, the first thing that you're taught in law enforcement is, you know, every round you discharge has to hit your mark, because if it doesn't, it could hit somebody else. Because bullets move. Bullets don't just drop to the floor and stop when you miss your mark. So what you see is a surveillance video and then a surveillance video from another camera. And you see a surveillance video from another camera. And that's where you see the little boy put his fingers in his ears. In surveillance video, people are popping in and out. People are running around. If you see people who are not carrying guns, but they seem to be running towards the subject, there are some men doing that. I don't recommend that. You might be curious, but you're not part of the equation if you don't have the right firepower. So stay out of the way and keep yourself safe. Go home safe at night. That firefight goes on actually for quite some time. You'll hear body camera footage from one officer, body camera footage from another officer. You can hear firefight going on, shooting going back and forth. You can hear people yelling, put the gun down, put the gun down, put the gun down, put the gun down. And she's not putting the gun down, obviously, because they are still yelling that, right? But you can still hear that then there's shooting going on. Then you hear an officer say, put the gun down, and you hear a reply that says this: you killed my kid. I will blow up this place. I have a bomb. I'm going to blow up this place. So now the officers have a whole different situation. In fact, as another officer comes around the corner, we see from her body camera footage that there is a child laying on the ground. In the initial video footage, before you get to actually see what I just told you about in the audio with the officers, you just see her popping in and out of the scene, and you see other people trying to pop around corners. You know, as you can imagine, in a hallway, if you're going to go into where you're going to go for services, there's like a little vestibule, right? So a little tiny corridor where the double doors are that open up. So officers and people who are working security are popping in and out of those, trying to peek out and get a look at this person who is firing rifle rounds at them, which are not for the faint of heart. And they're popping out, and then they're jumping back in and popping out and jumping back in. During this time period, you see her come back to the hallway where she first came through the doors, and she stands there and she puts her rifle on the ground and picks up her backpack and starts ruffling through it. And then she picks it back up and she walks someplace else. And then she realizes she doesn't have what she wants, which I assume is rounds. So she walks back over to where her backpack is, and she puts her rifle back down on the ground. Then she's looking for more things. You know, the situation was so volatile that the officers and the responders at that moment clearly didn't have eyes on her. That's what we call it. We didn't have eyes on her. They couldn't see that she was doing that with a weapon out of her hand. They might have been able to respond, but it's fleeting. It's just seconds and you don't know. And there are just as many scenes where you see somebody who is being fired at, who is running away to cover. So she does this, you know, back and forth. You see on surveillance camera. Later, when you see the surveillance body cam with the officer, you can hear the officers moving to get closer. And here's something that's really fantastic. The officers, I'm going to look and see if I've got the actual quote she said, because I thought this was like, it made me cry. So one of the officers has her gun out and she's joined up with another. And she says, we need to approach further, saying, we need to get closer. We need to get closer. She's saying that aloud to make the other person she's with understand what she's doing. And then she says, I'm going to try to say this without getting all crazy. And now, mind you, she's in a church. She was there for the church service. And instinctively, right, who she is, who the heart of who she is, she says, Father God, just be with us. Forgive us our sins. I mean, she is a really faithful person who is running towards somebody to shoot them potentially.
I'm not even religious and that's making me tear up.
I know. It's amazing. And then she actually is one of the first who approaches the child. And then she says another prayer for the child. I mean, and in the meantime, she has a gun out. So that aside, this astonishing response it's this wonderful response and this a loving response. Because I think we think of, you know, we always think of police officers, oh, they're cold-hearted. I mean, no, she, you know, she's there and she's immediately thinking of the whole package, right? And the whole time you hear people yelling at this woman to put her gun down. And so then imagine this. The response that comes back from the woman, besides the fact that she says, you killed my son, and she says, I've got a bomb, I'll blow this whole place up. She begins to say, all I need is help. All I need is help. All I need is help. She's looking for something. She's troubled. She needs some help, and she can't find a way to get it. And unfortunately, she's there with a rifle and police protocols. Right. And because she won't put the gun down, they eventually shoot her and kill her on the scene. So the boy is shot and the woman is dead. It's all played out.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you ever felt that pang of disappointment when you couldn't add a ticket to your collection because it was digital? Or maybe you just lost it? Well, StubForge.com is here to change that. Imagine this, tickets that not only look but feel like the real deal. Because each ticket from StubForge is printed on the same quality stock that Ticketmaster uses and printed with genuine ticket printers. It's like holding a piece of the concert, the game, or the show right in your hands. But StubForge isn't just about replacing tickets. With the easy-to-use interactive designer, you can create custom tickets for anything, from concerts to sports games, pregnancy announcements, or parties. Why not make your invitations stand out with tickets that are as unique as your event? And if you're trying to complete a back catalogue of missing tickets, StubForge offers bulk discounts to make it both easy and affordable. With StubForge, you can once more give your loved ones physical tickets and see their eyes light up instantly at the best gift you can give. So whether you're looking to reignite your ticket collection, craft the perfect gift, or send the coolest invites, head over to StubForge.com. Start creating today and see how StubForge makes every ticket a story worth saving. Visit StubForge.com and start making tickets today.
That is awful. That is so... I don't know why that's striking me even more emotionally than other ones. It's just that whole, like, what, maybe it's that I can relate to being a mother and a child, but what got her to that point? Do we know anything about who she is?
No, we'll know more as the investigative information comes out. As you can imagine, it could have been horrible, right? It could have been horrible because for so many reasons, and they do know that, you know, she was saying, oh, you know, I have a bomb. I don't know why she was saying that. She was wearing a backpack at the time or carrying a backpack. This church seats 15,000 people, right? This could have been
a lot worse.
A lot worse, right? And I think they were so aware of that. One of the things that is interesting that you'll hear is the law enforcement officers trying to talk back and forth. And they're even talking to, 911, and their dispatch is saying, you know, we've got EMS here. And the officers are saying, where is my ambulance? I need it right now. I've got a kid, you know. I mean, they're very conscious of that fact that there's a child who has been wounded and seriously is wounded actually in the head. And so they're trying to get the ambulance up to that door in a huge facility. How do you tell them where to go? That's part of the value of making sure doors are marked with specific names and numbers. As I mentioned before here in the school system that we have, every door has a big number over it. So responding people can see, officers can see, EMS, ambulances, come to door 62, come to door 15. There will be more to come. You know, there was no bond found, right? So,
yeah, we definitely need to revisit this one because I need to know the why.
Yeah, definitely. It's a why. And it's that challenge of, you know, what got the person to a point? Why did she bring her child? Why? I mean, because she was by herself, maybe, and she was the only one taking care of him. And so she couldn't leave him at home. You know, your brain is kind of how your brain works sometimes. But I wanted to share this part of the story today because I think it's valuable to appreciate that even after a shooting, even a week or two or whatever later, we don't know all the answers. And you shouldn't rush to judgment and know all the answers because you're asking really kind of fantastic questions. You know, what got her to that point? And why did she bring her child with her? And where did she get that kind of gun? And why was she carrying it? I think that it's reassuring, especially in Texas, where they've dealt with the Uvalde shooting. It's reassuring in Texas, where they have, you know, some of the highest gun ownership rates in the country, that law enforcement and Houston PD is, of course, well trained, and they release this information pretty quickly, I would say, even though it's not the whole investigation. And a lot of times people want answers. They want to know what's going on. The Lakewood Church has a huge community, both in person and online. Osteen's services are on television every week. And so the police did a great job under the circumstances to try to save that boy, to respond as fast as they could to protect everybody who was in the sanctuary, everybody who was outside. And that's good. But maybe the best news is the boy is, it looks like it's going to be okay. He's had 6 surgeries.
Oh, but actually, I thought he was gone. That is good news. That is good news.
Yay. See, I told you I can find a silver lining.
Bittersweet.
I mean, not his.
It's bittersweet, isn't it, really?
But he has a grandmother who's taken care of him and said he's off the ventilator and all the surgeries, and he's going to find his new way.
Oh, well, I wish him all the best in the world, sending him lots of love.
So more to come.
Oh, that was an emotional one.
Sorry. I'm sorry. It's just that, you know, it is always emotional, but I think that one thing that I would say is a good thing to take away with regard to it being emotional is that the day that we don't consider a shooting and a death emotional, it's a bad day.
Yeah, you're right. You're very right.
I mean, it really begs the question. There's so much that came before. There's so much that came before. Yeah. How did we lose her? Maybe she was a member of the church. I mean, how did we lose her in society? I mean, that's what I go to. That's what I want to know. so we don't lose the next one.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to know more, Catherine's book, Stop the Killing, is out now. For more details, go to catherineschweit.com. Please consider also supporting our independently made podcast. It's simple to do. Go to patreon.com/stopthekilling. And for as little as the price of a latte a month, you can be part of the solution to stop the killing. Patreon rewards range from official do-gooder status to ad-free episodes, autographed books, and opportunities to connect with us directly for your business, school, church, or even just a book club chat. But just knowing that you are part of a movement that has the power to make your community safer, well, that's got to taste better than a skinny cappuccino any day. So please head to patreon.com/stopthekilling now and polish off your do-gooder halo and make sure to include your name so we can give you a shout out. This podcast is a Community podcast production. That's Con with an N. If you want more content, then head over to Community Podcast at Instagram, where you'll find trailers on more binge-worthy true crime, like the award-winning podcast Conning the Con. And check out our show notes for all the links mentioned. Finally, if you want one takeaway action that you can do right now that can help make our community safer, please share, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen. Everybody needs to know that they hold the keys to see something and say something. Together, we can stop the killing.
It's one of those things you hope never happens, but you better train for it, because it will happen, and it will happen in places you wouldn't expect. Be ready for it.
I'm Sean McCabe.
And I'm Carrie McCabe.
We are, well, married, obviously, but we're also obsessed with the darker side of things.
True crime stories, alien abductions, poltergeists. If it leaves you scratching your head and keeping those lights on at night, we want to hear about it.
That's why we host the podcast, Ain't It Scary, with Sean and Carrie.
Every week, we bring our listeners a true story guaranteed to send chills down your spine. From history's most brutal serial killers to the mystery of spontaneous human combustion.
Yep, lots of these stories leave unanswered questions behind, and you'll get to poke through the rubble of the evidence with a hardened skeptic and...
someone whose mind is more open to fun.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
You can find Ain't It Scary with Sean and Carrie wherever you get your podcasts. And on social media at Ain't It Scary. Come play with us.
Hi, this is Amy and Vanessa from She Goes by Jane, where we shine light on the stories of missing and unidentified women. On November 7th, we're sharing Nahida's story for the first time in a podcast. And this is a story that I thought I knew, but after reading police reports, became more complicated than I thought. When investigators are called to Nahida Khatib's house, everything looks fine. Her purse is on the kitchen table, her cup of coffee is on the counter, and her 2-year-old niece is in her playpen. The only thing amiss? Nahida is missing.
Every week we feature a poem written in honor of the person we're talking about. This week we're joined by one of our favorite actresses. You might know her from Sister Act or King of the Hill or The Descendants. But if you're like us, you'll know her from Hocus Pocus. She's the much beloved Kathy Najimy. Join us November 7th to hear Nahida's story.